Gizmo, please be aware and edit that if you dare, because otherwise my derriere will be hanging out like a bear. Welcome to another episode of Anime Plummet. Today we're really plumbing the depths of the abyss, or in this case, a labyrinth or two, with a review of Ari Ferretta from World's Commonplace. No, sorry, from Commonplace to World's Strongest. Maybe I should have the notes in front of me so I know what the heck I'm talking about. What kind of idea is that? Anyways, with me today, I have my wonderful hosts coming in straight from Germany in his new recording booth. We have Gizmo. Giz, how you doing? I'm not hearing anything. Did I lose people?
I'm not here.
I forgot to unmute myself.
Oh! It happened. That's supposed to be my job.
That was like the first, like it. All right. Well, you got to do it once at least. So, like, thankfully,
yeah, you're both... Okay.
I don't need to remember why I muted myself. Okay.
You know what's worse is I have a Fruitopia and I totally just. I've lost a straw. Like, I'm so falling apart here. So don't worry, Giz. You're not the only one.
Leave that in, the Fruitopia part. I love that.
Oh, my goodness.
That's the intro.
All right.
Let's just roll from here. Hello, guys. It's me, Gizmo. I'm here.
Very good. And all the way, bouncing from, I guess, Europe's northern coast to America's western coast, we have Ed, King of the Californias.
Yo, what's up?
Not much. You're asking our public that. Never mind. And finally, this is a terrible intro, man. Finally, the King of the Rockies, King.
Hey, everybody. Sounding rough, but feeling good today.
Oh, man. Much like some of the dialogue, this needs some lubricant. Okay. So... As I mentioned up front, we're talking about Ari Ferretta. But of course, you know me, I can't help myself. I always have to ask a stupid question at the beginning. In this case, our main hero is not reincarnated, but summoned to another world and ends up with the most mundane job possible. So... if you were to be reincarnated to another world, what is the most mundane ability or job that you could be cursed with, in your opinion? Go ahead. We'll start with King.
Oh, just off the top of my head, I'd love to have a green thumb. I hate yard work. I am not good at it. I don't know how to grow shit, and I feel like that's useful, and we got a lot of farming isekai, so I've been inspired recently to learn how to grow crops.
Awesome. Very good. Next up, let's ask Gizmo. Gizmo, what would be your cursed mundane ability?
I don't even know. I also wanted to pick farming just because of the farming anime, and but I think farming is just so boring that in that seasonal show we are watching, they just cut out the most important part of farming. And they're like, he has a magical tool. And so he just thinks about the crops he wants to plant. And then they magically appear and grow in a couple of days.
Yeah, the daily weeding and stuff is not really happening.
Yeah, he's not even a farmer. He's just like a Minecraft Let's Player who's like plopping down stuff and it magically appears.
Yeah.
So that would be my choice as well, I guess.
All right, Ed, salvage us from this farming endemic. What would your curse be if you, or mundane ability that you'd be cursed with if you went to another world?
Farming.
Yes! Oh yes! Yes! It's the most useful thing.
It's useful, but also, like, you're in it for the long haul. It's not a one-day thing.
So my answer actually is inspired by the fact that I've been watching, I don't know why, it's been oddly fascinating, but also very gross, YouTube videos from this guy from Australia, shout out to Drain Addict, who who basically goes around and deals with block drains, and he's really goofy about it. And to me, some of it's sewer, some of it's stormwater, you know, that kind of things. And so I just think to myself, my gosh, that would be just the worst, most mundane. Imagine medieval plumbing and having to deal with that kind of stuff. So
those videos are somewhat satisfying, though, when they clear out a storm drain and you just see all the water go away.
Yeah, that's good. It's super good. But yeah, that's like me trying to settle down for the night watching this. You don't watch it with a meal, certainly. But anyways, that would be my I would be a medieval plumber. Would be my curse to bear.
How would you turn that into a superpower, though?
He can unclog any drain. It's
imagine being the person to come to a world that invents indoor plumbing. I'm just saying there. Imagine having a flushable toilet where everyone else is using these pots that have to pour out the freaking window.
If you're in a dungeon and you fall down like into this long abyss, and at the end you land there and you have to survive somehow, how do you turn your power into something useful? You clean out the dungeon, I guess.
Well, I mean, listen, Mario figured it out. I'm sure I could too. Okay,
true. Actually,
I'm sure he could unclog any of the monsters' insides.
Is Mario the original isekai protagonist?
one of them. Yes, actually, you're right. That's an untapped kernel there. We gotta shh. Don't talk. Don't tell. That's our idea. We copyrighted.
Nintendo, don't steal it.
Anyways, okay. Very good. So let's get into it. What we're going to do is just break it down, I think, and talk about the individual seasons. So individual seasons. There's only been two seasons.
Seasons of Ari Furuta.
Multiple amazing. Wait. Hold on. Maybe that's going a little overboard. So, seasons of Ari Furuta. Let's take it away. I'm going to get either... do I have a volunteer as to who wants to talk about season one of Ari Furuta?
I'm gonna read the synopsis for season one. So, Ari Furuta. When a classroom of students is transported to another world to act as its saviors, Hajime Nagumo finds himself the weakest link. As his friends and classmates are granted strong classes and impressive abilities due to their existing skills, he is given the weak title of Synergist. When a dungeon quest leaves him separated from his group, Hajime must discover his own talents or be left to rot in this world forever.
Well, rot, I think, is a forgiving term, more like just die in an instant. So
I love it. Discover his own talents, which his number one talent being that chicks dig this dude. I mean, I don't know what to say about, like, this is a harem anime, folks. We should also mention that it came out in summer 2019. And this guy just cannot beat women off of him. Like, he is very unlikable for many reasons. I'm going to start out, but we can get into it in a little bit. But yeah, that's his superpower, is bringing in the chicks, which I think is hilarious. Obviously, we can get into it, what his real talents and powers are and everything. But what are you guys' first impressions?
What actually is his superpower, though? I don't even quite remember. He like transforms materials into.
He absorbs. So he absorbs abilities and powers originally. So Hajime, when he starts out, he falls down a hole separated from his class, except he was secretly pushed into the hole by one of his classmates.
And, oh, so edgy.
The strong absolute
tactics.
So exactly. I have to correct King. That's not his superpower. So his basic power of like the Synergist is his ability to manipulate materials.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's how he builds all his weapons, right?
Right, that's, and so he builds the weapons. What he does, though, is it's a combination of the fact that he uses synergy to basically, like, he gets his arm chopped off by this big bad bear monster, basically me in the thing looking for a meal. I go, tasty arm, chomp chomp, and he basically runs away by synergizing a hole and then immediately synergizing to block it. And it ends up in a spot where there's basically like this just happens to be conveniently as gem of concentrated magic or whatever the case is that allows him to kind of heal.
The magical healing fluid.
Yeah, his magical healing fluid, which he collects a whole bunch.
Oh boy.
It's dripping from this bulging thing in the ceiling, dripping
don't
down.
Make it weird, like,
anyways, so he with the covenant, the reason we say this is because he goes, well, I gotta survive, so I gotta eat something. What am I gonna eat? I'm gonna try eating these monsters. And so he uses a synergy ability to basically entrap some weaker monsters and tries to eat it. Now, the monster meat should have killed him, but because he has this stupid crystal that's providing healing stuff for him, he basically is able to tough it out, and the meat essentially changes him, and he becomes part monster, which now allows him
to... He gains the abilities of the monsters he eats.
Yeah,
right?
He essentially gains the abilities of monsters. And the whole thing is normally people wouldn't be able to do that because they would die, right? Yeah. And so it's kind of like a case of, oh, had you... It's just the quinky-dink, the fact that he had this magic rock that was oozing out healing fluids and was able to survive through it. And so it's a very, very painful, and he lays there. And again, the changes from the light novel, he actually spent a lot of time basically just withering in pain and stuff like that, but they cut it out in the anime, whatever. That's fine. And so,
they
yes,
wanted to
that's
part
how
where
he gets
powerful, right?
Yeah. And so his stats go through the roof, because originally he was stuck at like being 10 across the board or something when all of his friends were like hundreds and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, this is another one of those anime where we look at stat lines and skills and all this kind of jazz. definitely not overdone, but
we don't even see stats anymore later on.
Yeah, they kind of start downplaying that stuff, which is fine. Like, do we need to keep looking at that stuff? No, we get the point is the fact that by the time he gets to the bottom of this 100-story abyss, 100-story deep abyss, he's eaten every monster he comes across, gained their abilities, boosted his stats, and now he's a monster himself, essentially, right?
Yeah, once he becomes OP, we don't care about you gaining abilities or stats or whatever. He can produce a machine gun out of his arm. So
Yeah,
talk about escalating quickly. Just pulls out like a magnum. He's like, say it to my face.
Yeah, like exactly. Anyways, we're jumping ahead. So a couple things I want to mention. It's Ryo Shirakomi is the author, and the illustrator for the light novels was Takiaki. And basically, they originally did this. It was web-based. It was one of those cases where it was web-based, and a publisher came along and picked it up to publish and make it an anime. Initially, there was some dispute, I guess, between the original author and the original director on how the anime was going, which led to an issue where they had to kind of restaff or something. I'm not 100% clear on it, but what this resulted in was some major production issues and it being rushed at the last possible second. And they tried to use CG to rush it. And boy, it is atrocious. So the first season, the little parts of it, like, are okay. Like the little like interactions with the people are okay. The combat is just terrible. Like absolutely,
CG fights are so bad. But I mean,
they're terrible.
That's not even my biggest problem.
Okay. So, are you getting into season two thoughts, or are you getting into season...
We could talk about season one first.
Okay, so what's some gripes you have then?
Okay, first of all, I want to start out saying that I think the first couple of episodes, until we get to episode 5 or 6, maybe, I think the anime is actually fine. He's struggling in the beginning, and then he meets the naked lolly, which is not a fan of, but it's okay. They have some character moments and character building. The fights already look atrocious, but I don't really care about the fights, right? I care about him struggling, gaining abilities, and it's kind of cool how he eats the monsters and gains the abilities. And we also have this looming betrayal plot, like always in the background, because one of the classmates betrayed him and pushed him down the abyss, basically. And I think that was fine. Then we get to the part where they meet the bunny girl, and holy fuck, this girl is annoying. She is the worst.
Shout out to Shay. Shout out to Shay.
Shout out to Shay. Jesus Christ. Two figures of her.
I have to say, I watched the English dub, and I don't know if she's better in the Japanese original, but in the English dub, I almost wanted to push the mute button whenever she talked. It was so annoying. Oh. Like, she is terrible. And that entire plotline about them meeting her and saving the bunny people or whatever, I was like, oh my God, please just move on to something else, something more interesting.
But you know what makes up for it? Her character design.
There we go. There we go. And for the folks at home, please go look, check out all of the ladies in the group. Shay is a very voluptuous bunny girl.
Scantily clad.
She's got these it's this weird design that they'll sometimes have where a character will be wearing a skirt, like a short skirt, and then they have to like hike up the strands of what looks like it would be like a thong. So she's got like a whale tail situation going on.
There's like hip straps.
And it's like hip straps, but it's very, it's pretty sexual. Yeah, looking.
High arching.
And I like, this is always the funniest thing of like, oh my gosh, we've definitely sacrificed utility and comfort for just like a whale tail, which I love. I think that's so funny.
And after the first couple of episodes, Hajime just becomes, as King already mentioned, he becomes super overpowered and just never struggles again. Like, nothing in this show ever phases him, basically. It's ridiculous. And the girls just get worse and worse, honestly. Like, the dragon girl, like, when we meet her, the scene with the dragon.
Whoa, slow your roll.
Well, okay.
All
right, go for it.
Introduce Tio. So go ahead and set up the introduction for her before you blast her out of the way.
Okay, so they meet this dragon, and Hajime, for some reason, figures the only weak spot a dragon has is the butt. And he penetrates her ass with his sword.
So hold on, it's not the sword; it's his pile driver. But anyways, timeout for a second. Timeout. Can we point out that never before and never again has an anime girl's anus been so thoroughly rendered on screen than it was in that moment?
Oh,
it wasn't blurred out. It wasn't anything.
Certainly, one of a kind.
She was in dragon form, but I'm just saying. You saw her anus. Anyways, carry on.
Yes, thank God she was in dragon form. Whatever. I don't even want to go that route. But when I first saw this scene, I saw it like on Twitter as a GIF or something. When I first tried watching Arif Virtual, I didn't even get that far. I mean, it's pretty late in season one. It's like episode 9 or 10 or something, I think. So I only saw like a small fraction of that scene, but that scene is so long. It's amazing. It's like 5 minutes of her just screaming, oh no, no more, not any deeper. And Hajime's like, oh, you want it deeper? And just ramps it in more. And I'm like, what am I watching right now?
This is too lewd. This is too lewd for Gizmo.
It's just so stupid.
This is funny because we're talking about this and laughing our asses off. I even wrote down, Dragon Steak in the Ass was 10 out of 10 comedy content. That was, that's like the funniest. I think that might be the funniest moment of the whole series so far. We'll try to think of some other ones or brainstorm. But it's so ludicrous and it's so dumb.
13-year-old humor.
But it's so fun.
I mean, I can't say that I was bored watching that scene. I was more like in shock. I was like, what is happening right now?
I think it's because it was so out of pocket and it came out of nowhere. I remember when I first saw it, when this was airing weekly, and I was like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You don't want someone catching you watch that scene. That's like a classic, like someone walks in and you slam your computer shut. You're like, no, no, no.
But then...
Go on.
Even if you like that scene... After that, her character basically becomes like Bargain Bin Darkness from Konosuba, right? She's just like, won't you hurt me, daddy, please? And I'm like, okay. I guess another girl for his harem.
That's one of my gripes, too, as just a whole thing of... Because we should take a step back and explain that Hajime, even though this is, you know, quote-unquote harem show, it's the classic thing where... The MC, whilst yes, he's surrounded by ladies who love him, he has no interest in any of the ladies except Yue, a vampire lolly who I guess is hundreds of years old. Classic. I hate it, but it's classic. Yeah. 300. 300. And he meets her. She kind of helps him build confidence and is a confidant early on. And it's the first girl he meets. So, of course, he falls in love with her. You know, they get intimate or whatever, and they build this special relationship. So by the time we even meet Shay, before we meet Tio, the dragon, he's already made this bond, and he's like, no, this is my main girl, which is a classic gripe of mine. I'm like, my man, if you're gonna have a harem, have a fucking harem, dude. Don't. And the girls are constantly throwing themselves at him, and it does result in good comedy content, which I think is important. But I'm like, my man. You gonna be surrounded by, you know, anal dragon and horny bunny girl, and you're not gonna throw a dog a bone? Come on.
But I mean, the problem with harem shows is always that the girls, the individual girls, never really get like any character progression or like relationship progression. It's just like, oh, she is the kinky girl, she is the shy girl, and you know, they have one. They have one-hit wonders, basically. They have one episode where it's all about them, and then they just tag along for the ride. That's always how I see harem shows, and that's why I don't like harem shows in general, because you don't really build any connections to these girls. It's just one and done, basically. They might as well just be one-night stands, and then it's over.
You're right about that, because they're just sipping for him. Throughout the whole
stuff.
They're
simping so hard and for no reason. I mean, just because he's powerful, I guess. Cool. Amazing personality there.
He doesn't give a fuck because while he's down in this abyss in the early episodes, like he becomes very hardened he distrusts everyone around him. He becomes an asshole,
just say it.
Yeah, he becomes an asshole. Which I will say, I'm not crazy about that, but one thing I appreciate throughout the whole series, which is, you know, the main plot we find out later on is that he needs to kill the god of this world that he's been brought into, which is insert metal guitar lick here, because that's always very cool to kill God. And they're like, we got to do this. We got to kill the angels and God and everything. And he's like, no, I don't give a fuck about that. I want to go home. I'm gonna go home. And it's the classic thing of like, he's kind of that anti-hero thing where his mission is to get home. And if he has to help people along the way, he will do that. But he doesn't help people out of the kindness of his heart. It reminds me, Ed, of One Piece. Luffy is... They're like, Luffy, you can be a hero. He goes, no, I don't want to be a hero. I want to be king of the pirates. This is my dream. And if he will help people, but his main goal is always something else. And I kind of like that. I think that's fun take on just a standard hero. It's like, I'm a good guy. Instead, this guy's like, I'm an asshole.
It could be fun if they didn't constantly portray his asshole behavior as something... good as something. Oh yeah, he's so badass. He's so cool.
Yeah,
he could be a broken character and still be badass. Like take Guts from Berserk, for example, a super broken character that's really fucked up and has lost like all trust in humanity in the world and stuff. But he's still a cool character. And this guy is just an asshole. And even the betrayal plot line. I was kind of looking forward to him meeting his old classmates again. But the scene where they reunited was so lame. They just meet at an inn and he just ignores them basically. And everyone's like, oh wow, it's Hajime. And I'm like, okay, that's it. That's how you meet. That's how this whole betrayal plotline is going to be resolved.
Well, the person betrayed him wasn't in that group anyways, right?
Yeah.
Like that was still those.
He meets the person that betrays him and somehow he's still an asshole to all the other classmates for no reason because they didn't do anything to him and he knows it. Fuck you guys. And I don't understand. That whole plotline didn't make any sense to me.
And Mike, you might be able to speak to this too, because you've read the light novels. I watched this great video on YouTube that kind of broke down like, hey, from the first couple episodes, here's everything they didn't cover from the manga and light novel. And they build up like why people don't really care for him. He's a fucking loser, weirdo, creep kind of guy. And he just doesn't like these people already going in, and I think the anime does a bad job. He gets thrown in the hole really quickly, and then he's like, I don't like anybody, everybody sucks. And it's like they spend a lot of time like a whole volume introducing him in the regular world in Japan, and he's just, you know, he's a neat, he sucks, and nobody really cares for him except like one or two people. So I think they do a disservice to his development when they kind of just throw it. Yeah, that's... I agree.
We'll get to the classmates later, especially season one. Season two is especially bad, but let's see what Mark has to say.
I've held back long enough. I gotta jump in here because I kept trying to get in word-wise and wasn't able to do so elegantly. You guys have kind of said your piece. We're going to move on for season one here in a minute. But, like, yeah, the anime... for many reasons, is a bad adaptation of the source material. So, just to give a bit of my history, I watched it as it was coming out. It was a trash fire, but there was something about it that was like, I'm liking this too much. I need to go find the source material. And this is not the first time I've done this. I've done this also with, what's that other really bad harem? Isekai, How Not to Summon a Demon Lord, Cheapers. There's a couple other ones. Anyways, my brain is fried at the moment. But so I went and started reading life novels and I literally consumed them. They're really good, like enjoyable. I think, are they like masterpieces of writing? No, absolutely not. Like they're still trashy, I guess, light novel kind of trash. And I would agree that the author is trying to do too much with Hajime. He's like trying to have his cake and eat it too, because he tries to walk a tightrope of like, oh, he's so edgy, but he's not too edgy. You know what I mean? And so, yes, a lot of it is the fact that like he is one of those kids that feel isolated. One of those kids that, you know, may have gone and done some terrible things as a result of it, and he was pushed to a limit. The one thing I do appreciate is the fact that he kind of walks back from the edge, and part of that was because he met Yui, who helps him out. Mm-hmm. Part of that is his interaction with his old teacher, which also tries to pull him back from being, you know, just an atrocious person. And there's other situations that go along. And so meeting up with, like, Shane, stuff like that, like, in the light novels, I'm going to be honest, like, when you first meet Shay, it's always, like, really, what's the word, sudden? Like, and it doesn't vibe well, but she kind of weasels her way in there, and it's, again, because they try to condense so much in the first season, it really does feel rushed, and it feels like there's no time for anything to kind of stew. And so you get these characters that feel really flat. Whereas in light novels, they don't feel as flat, I will say. They're certainly not perfect. Do they still have some bad stereotypes and bad tropes? Absolutely. But we lose a lot of these parts in it. So one of the things, though, I wanted to mention is the fact that, like, I appreciate the fact that, like, he didn't go the full Ed Lord route. Like, he didn't go the redo of Healer, you know, half. Oh. God, which we could have gone. Like, he could have came back and just, like, destroyed his class, right? Just assuming it's like, well, one of them are bad, the whole group is bad, right?
Yep.
Like, who's to say? Like, you know what I mean? But I also kind of, I don't know, the teen angst part of, like, when he first runs into his class and he just ignores them. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, I understand it. Like, it's like, I don't want to talk to you people. Like, oh, what's the last thing? I don't need people going, oh, you're okay? Oh, how are you doing? It's like, go fuck off. I don't know. Like, I can understand the logic of him coming out of through all this and just being like, oh, I don't want to talk to these people.
I understand the power fantasy thing that he has going on, right? And I almost wanted him to have his big moment when he meets the classmates. And that's also why I'm a bit disappointed, because he didn't have a big moment. It was just like in an inn.
So,
and he walked in there and everyone was, hey, wait,
those, you gotta, it's hard to tell because everything's going so fast, but those classmates were not in the dungeon when he fell off, right? They're not part of the front fighting party. That's why they went with the teacher to this place. Because they
didn't see him disappear in the dungeon.
They just heard about it, right? Likewise, he knows that none of those guys were there at the day that that happened, right? Because they were all like,
okay,
they're the ones that, again, they didn't do very well. Half the class kind of got scared. They get cold feet and they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, especially my point after, is, it should have been a big moment, him meeting his old classmates and then realizing that he's still
that
alive.
That was the, so we the
didn't
scene,
get that big moment. And that
the
was
scene you're talking about is the very end, right? When he goes down and saves the people in the dungeon from the demon, right? That's that kind of, that's,
you mean
that's,
season two?
No, that's the end of season one.
So when he meets the hero and his party. That's the
He goes. Season. He remember the guy, the one guy Endo comes out to say, "Oh, we're trapped and there's a demon kicking our ass down there. We need help." Yeah. And then Hajime just happens to be there, and Hajime is like, "Oh, fine, I'll go help." And he kind of goes and they basically just use the pile driver to shoot down like multiple floors just to get down there quick and then drop down. And so that's the whole big flashy finally meeting back with that particular class.
I totally forgot about that scene, but yeah, you were right. But I mean, that tells you something, right? When I actually forgot about that.
Yeah, the important part right there.
Because when he walks into that inn, I thought, okay, wow, well, this is the big moment that I've been waiting for, and it's so disappointing. I was like, oh, okay.
And it's totally legitimate, because I can't ask you to go, well, Giz, you should read all the light novels so you understand. You know, like, that's like, not, that's not real. Yeah, like, that's not, listen, you have a healthy relationship, right, with yourself. I don't. I love reading that stuff. Give it to me all day and all night. And you, I'm not going to torture you with that.
But
kind
I mean,
of
there
stuff.
Was still clearly enough for you guys there in the anime that you went ahead and read the light novels, and King even enjoys them without having read the light novels. So I,
oh yeah. Well, there's, it's, I mean, you know, we like smutty shows on this podcast, and I know you do too. And this isn't the right kind of smutty. So there's that, but there are some good comedy moments. We have to give a special shout out to Shay. She pulls the move from Sandlot, the 90s baseball kids film Sandlot, where she is drowning And Hajime has to save her. She's unconscious and her eyes are closed and she's not breathing. And Hajime performs CPR. And just like in the Sandlot, the nerdy kid with the big thick glasses with the attractive lifeguard, she grabs Hajime and just starts tonguing the shit out of him and just, you know, which is assault in every other case. But that, and of course,
it's fine.
He's freaking out. Yue's freaking out. And she's getting it in. And I just died at that. I think that was so funny. It's a hilarious trope from back in the day. Don't do that in real life, folks. That's gross. But
yeah,
it was
very funny seeing the police.
It was definitely funny
seeing it. Please learn the difference between reality and fiction. Okay.
Yeah. I do like smutty and trashy stuff sometimes. Maybe the show doesn't go in enough for me, because the whole bad boy thing also, it always seems like, he's super edgy and he hates everyone, but then the show pulls him back again. It's like, no, but he still does the right thing all the time. Like, the perfect scene that exemplifies this is when they meet the traitor, the classmate that betrays them, and he gets shot by some of the bad guys because the bad guy wanted to shoot the teacher, right? Yes. And he's bleeding on the floor and Hajime kills him. And at first you're like, wow, okay, holy shit, he just killed one of his classmates. And the teacher's like, oh, what are you doing? And then later on, it turns out, he only shot him because he didn't want the teacher to feel bad about him dying, because the shot was meant for her. So she would have felt responsible for his death. So he actually still did a good thing. So it's always all framed that, he is a hero. He is so great. He is so badass. He's so cool.
The whole crux of it is that Hajime, for all right, should have become that edgelord character, the anti-hero, and he doesn't. He gets pulled back.
Yeah, he should do some evil things. If he's always talking shit like this, he should actually do something bad for once. But it always turns out that he does the right thing in the end. And I think it's just lame. It's just super lame.
Gizmo, it sounds like you're trying to scrap with Hajime right now. You're like, if you're gonna do something, let's fucking go. Let's go, do it.
Yeah, give me a moment where I think, hey, maybe it's not so cool that he's this broken of a character. But it's
yeah. And like you said, it's how are you gonna make this guy a certain way when you're inserting wacky, you know, shenanigans with the girls too at the end of the day, kind of thing, right? Like it plays on all these different emotions that we're supposed to feel. Then, you know, you'll get a comedy scene the next one, and I do get that. I totally understand your critiques of it. I think what it comes down to is I wonder if we're just simple people and we're like, dragon with thing and butt was funny, ha ha ha, you know.
All we really need.
Yeah, I was going to say, I need to hear some Ed thoughts, because I'm Mr. Downers over there. I mean, King's not super downer, but he's still a little bit of a realist. Can you bail some of the water out of this boat right now?
Yeah, well, essentially the way I see it is Hajime was built up to be this super edgelordy type of character that didn't go all the way, which is fine. But I also would have liked if he was a bit more consistent with it. But overall it was fine. I guess he in his own head, he's trying to be cold against his classmates to separate himself from them, so he's not putting them in danger. So that's how he kind of gets all like edgelord kind of, but.
Also,
go
ahead. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Well, that's like his main character is him like pushing away the ones he cares about so he could take care of what he needs to do. Like edgelordy type. Because that's essentially, Gizmo didn't get his proper reunion just because that's who that character is. He doesn't, he wants to rescue his classmates, but he doesn't want to show it. So he'll keep to himself, do his own thing until he gets to his goal, which is finding a way to get out.
Funny enough, Kaori calls out his bullshit in season 2. I don't know if you guys noticed it, but she's like, what are you dressing up like an edgelord anime hero? And he's like, shut up! Because he's like, you realize the fact that he, because he was a bit of a, not a neat, but you know what I mean? Like, he was that sort of introverted kind of character.
Naughty kid.
Obviously, there. He must have liked anime and manga and all that usual crap. And totally, he takes the look that he takes from that sort of stuff. And Kaori, which, listen, I'm going to spoil some light novel stuff. Kaori had interest in him before. And so she actually went and watched some of the anime that he liked. And so she was able to identify the fact that it's like, oh, like you're just dressing like that character you really like from that anime. And like, he's like, what? No, shut up. You know, and that's anyways.
He's kind of like the main character in Eminence and Shadow, but without the self-referential humor. he plays it straight, and it just doesn't.
I like his drip. I really wish we could all pull off giant black trench coats with big collars and not look like a crazy person. Because
I'll get the cops called on me.
Exactly. You're like, dude, you're not coming in
this
here.
This dude's
man.
Selling something weird. Or holding a gun. Yeah. Get him out
or just
here.
like a flasher in a trench coat. That's what I think of like, look at the goods. I will say one thing I really did enjoy about this first season and the second season is I do like the character designs. I like the outfits. Sometimes, you know, they're a little smutty on the women or whatever, but I don't, it's funny now that I think about it, you know, Yue wears like, is, you know, a little Lolita vampire, but she wears like a lab coat or something, like some sort of white lab coat, which, you know, whatever. He wears a black coat. She wears a white coat. You know, maybe that's all there is to it. It's just like that kind of balance. But I enjoy, and we can get to it in a little bit in the second season, some of the other characters' designs as he goes along and progresses. And I do enjoy he progresses with the harem. It doesn't get dumped on him like in Farming Isekai, or it doesn't come all the way at the end like Labyrinth in Another, or Harem Labyrinth in Another World, whatever the hell it's called. It's a steady progression, which is, I'll take that over the other two, I guess.
Before we move on from season one, like, what is with all the smooth jazz? I don't know whose decision was to bring in all this jazz music.
Yeah, the soundtrack.
But like, honestly, you know what? If nothing else, it stands out. Like, I know a lot of people laughed at it because it's just like, what is going on with the saxophone constantly? And even to, like, the intro, which you heard earlier. Like there's just a saxophone like raging in it during the OP. You don't get as much of it in the second season, because the second season obviously they spent a lot more effort in making it like actually decent, and so the soundtrack sounds more like a typical fantasy soundtrack, I guess. I don't know, for lack of a better term. So we don't get quite all these weird like jazz battle thing going on, but man, I just, it kills me every time that we're watching it. Also, last thing I want to mention, slavery bad, and this
we
is the
want to make sure we're on the record. Anime Plummet does not support slavery. We just want to
yes,
be clear.
Absolutely, we're against slavery. We recognize the fact that the
some of us.
Oh no!
Wait, are you saying I can't buy an elven woman?
Oh, just
only if you're
terrible.
Good to them.
So fine. Plus 1 point for Hajime for not participating in the world slavery like many other MCs of recent isekai.
Oh, so
instead,
many.
He tears it down when they discover it in a certain place to save Miyu. They're like, oh yeah, fuck also this entire slavery ring. We're just going to destroy this town outright. So, hey, there we go.
Plus one. You know you're grasping at straws when you're like, at least he's not a slave owner.
Gizmo, can you not shit on every good point? Can you not?
Every good. Yeah. I'm waiting for the first good point.
All right. And with that, let's go talk about season two.
Mike, I just wanted you to know that this season received a, which is perfect, a 6.69 on MAL. That's
perfect. No one changed that score. That's a perfect score right there.
That's a perfect score. Do not change it.
0.69. Oh, yeah.
Before we go into season two, I just want to say, guys, you know, I love and respect you very much, okay?
So we're brothers, yeah.
Hold on. Yeah, well, like, we're
this is bad. This is a preface. It's going to be bad.
Oh.
All right, with that message, let's hear about season two. Season 2 came out in winter 2022. The plot is, after rescuing his former classmates from the perils of the labyrinth, the magical place that grants divine powers to whoever triumphs over the trials, Hajime emerges victorious and gets a new power, saves his classmates, and sets out to the rest of his journey, which would be conquering all the other labyrinths, taking his new member, Kaori, right?
Yeah.
Kaori.
You got it.
Which is his classmate, now joined the team, the harem, and pretty much ditches his classmates and tell them, you guys suck. GG's, I'm out.
GG's, these.
At the same time, they're getting ready for the demon army's invasion, so they're trying to prep for that. And that's essentially what this season's about. What do you guys think? Do we want to start positively with Mike, or yeah, let's start with Mike. You
know, there we go. Gizmo's ready to be like, I'm gonna go off. Yeah, on you let's let
Gizmo stew a little bit more.
Mike.
So yeah. This aired in winter 2022. A couple of things. So I didn't mention the studios for the first season were supposed to be just White Fox. When the kind of implosion happened, they brought in Asreed, which I don't really know much about those studios. The second season, Asreed is still there, but now they're bringing in Studio Mother, who is mainly focused on the CG. And well, I mean, compared to the first season CG, like literally like first year, like animation students can produce better. So, Studio Mother, makes a huge improvement, not saying much, but so unfortunately we continue to lose a lot from the light novels. That doesn't really change. Because we've kind of already set our pace, and for them to suddenly slow it down, I think would probably bother a lot of people. But we do get a bit of a fill in with the OAVs that, I don't know, did you guys watch the OAVs? The little silly bits at the end of the season.
I might have. I don't remember.
Was one of them a beach episode?
No, there's no beach. There's like, it's like the clothing episode. The outfit swap, and like there's like Yui trying to teach magic and a couple other like goofy little things. Okay. It's like a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know. Anyways, fan service continues to kind of skyrocket it. There is a beach episode. That's right. It's not a beach episode. It's like an, I don't know what you call it, a boardwalk episode where they're all in their bathing suits and. Yes. And what's her name loses her bikini because Miyu, I think, steals it. I don't, when I say what's her classic. Name, Shea. Yeah, classic small child taking it. Small child is now calling Hajime Papa, which, of course, always brings great hilarity to many situations. And we get this meet Miyu's mother, who's. She's hot stuff. I don't know. Moms, they're hot. Yeah, I think I'm better at reacting to what you guys are going to say. The one thing I did was I kind of appreciate how little he really spends on the guy who pushes him off the abyss. I guess spoilers. He ends up just like basically kicking him really hard to the face out into a pack of like monsters where he proceeds to get destroyed, essentially stomped on to he's dead or whatever. So that was funny.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think the big takeaway from season two, which I meant to say when we were talking to the first one, what the an idea I like, whether it's executed well or not, whether it's developed well or not, is we're always used to when it's isekai, it's usually one guy or gal, or maybe two or three or four. I'm thinking of Shield Hero, where multiple people get in, but this is a whole damn class, and I like that because we have more characters to play with. Now, whether that happens or not, you know, we can talk about here in a little bit, but just that initial, let's take a whole group of people and isekai them and see what happens there. It's a little bit different from what we're used to. And we do get, they do shed more light on the class as we move along. People start to betray others. We find out that one girl is like an evil mastermind behind the whole thing, who is trying to turn all her classmates into some sort of zombie army. I think that's one of the major takeaways and evil characters and everything. And I kind of liked her for a bit of that. We don't get a deep dive on her. It's just like she was unpopular in high school and now she's going to wreck shit on everybody. And maybe there's somebody out there who can relate to that, but I don't think I can.
So oh, thank you, Mr. Popular during high school. I see. Okay. Thank you.
No, I just flew under the radar. Like I was in the stoner group. So like,
oh, okay, yeah.
Nobody bothered the stoners ever. But
you had a scene, like you had a group, it's the ones who were themselves. There's multiple because there's another one in the first season we didn't even mention. We did briefly. He's the one that Hajime shot. So the teacher didn't think that she killed him. He was another loner class. Like there was a bunch of class loners that turned bad.
Why didn't these loners get together?
Why don't they just get together, having some babies? Wait a second. Hold on. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't think there are many people who are unpopular in high school that want to turn their classmates into zombies. So
that's a stretch right there. That's a little bit of a stretch for sure.
We can actually start with this scene because first of all, I want to say, I think season two is a disaster, absolute disaster.
Oh, like, no!
There's almost nothing redeeming about this
scene. There we go.
Gotta go. Guys, I gotta go. I'm sorry. I'll listen to this episode maybe one day and find out what he says, but I can't be here for this.
I love that. I love it.
That betrayal scene is one of the worst because the episode sets it up as, wow, now we find out who is the betrayer, you know, and then it's the glasses girl, and I'm like, who are you?
Who is that? Yeah, who are you again?
They literally introduced her one scene earlier, and I have no idea who this character is. I guess she probably was in the background in some scenes in the first season already. I have no idea.
Yeah, but she was there.
That is the biggest problem I have with the season. I have no idea who any of these people are. Like, the entire class is, they are just blank faces for me. I have no idea.
Well, Gizmo, if you had read the late novel, you would know quite well. Her name is Eerie, and she was there. Anyway, sorry.
I'm sure the light novel fixes a lot of those problems, but in the anime, I just did
that's
not
actually an argument. I want to just note for the record, that's not actually an argument. Like, if anything, that's an argument for what Gizmo is saying right now. So carry on.
So yeah, the betrayal is like okay, whatever. I don't care. Like I don't care about any of the classmates being betrayed, and I don't care about her being the traitor because I didn't know her. So that entire reveal is absolutely non-effective. I think it's super funny that the season actually starts out with a scene. I don't know if you guys remember, where it looks like Hajime is struggling for once. You know, he's confronted with this angel person and he looks very beat up and it's like, oh, wow, is he actually struggling to defeat his opponents this season? Is he not just OP? And then when we come to that fight, I was like, okay, now it might get a bit more interesting. And he just, he pulls out this overpowered weapon out of his infinite arsenal of bullshit and just defeats her anyway. And I'm like, okay, there was no struggle again. His only struggle was because he had the teacher in his arms and was like, oh, I can't move freely. And then the teacher is gone. And then he just beats her ass. And I'm like, oh, why did we tease this scene as something important? It was nothing important. It was just any other enemy he defeats.
Oh, and Gizmo, to your point, one thing that I don't in one of the things I really don't enjoy about this show, probably the thing I dislike the most actually, is the infusion of modern technology from the real world into a fantasy realm. Yeah, so like, and folks, we're jumping all over the place because obviously we're heated, and this is a bit of a fever dream at times, but. This is a realm that we didn't set up well enough where it's magic, it's swords, it's shields, you know, just your classic fantasy isekai. But this guy is like, I have magic, so I'm going to bring out a Glock. I'm going to bring out a Gatling gun. A Humvee, a sub. He brings out a submarine at one point in season two. And it's just like, okay, my man can just make a nuke anytime he wants. So it's like, oh.
It's like a game of civilization where he has specced into like science and he's like at the tank stage and everyone's still riding around on horses. That's why he's so powerful.
It's why he's so powerful and can take out. So that's my least favorite part is I hate when sci-fi or the future mixes with fantasy. I'm sure it can be done well. I'm sure there are examples of that. This is not one of them. This is OP to the max without any regard for anybody else in the world of like, he's the only one that can make these things.
It also like it's this like thought of like, oh, I know these things exist. So I know quantitatively how they mechanically work such that I can form basic ores into the components. Like you think about how complex an engine is. Now, admittedly, he's using, again, they explain in light novels, there is no actual engine inside. It's just he's just propelling it with mana, like he's putting mana into it to basically make it go forward. So all it really has to be is four wheels on a box, I guess. So I guess in that sense, but it still it's kind of feels a bit silly, like how like would you've actually known that guns work like semi-automatic guns work by using the gases that are released to like push the cartridge around so the next bullet can be loaded into the chamber. Like, is that things you knew Hajime before, or are you just like, whatever, magic's running it all, like we'll just wave our hands,
magic. Yeah, the logic is not good in that sense. So I kicking it back to Gizmo, like anytime he faces a struggle for a little bit, he's like, let me just get my gun out and your bitch ass sword. Let's go and let's rumble. And you're like,
let me just have a look at my toolbox. What do I use today? Like the bazooka. Oh no, I had that yesterday. Let's take the machine gun this time.
Did you guys ever watch the anime named Gate?
No,
I have not seen it. I've heard about it.
You guys should watch
it.
It's a good series. Part of it is like Japan army goes into their world to bring back essentially a hostage. And one of the parts is like, oh yeah, we're going to fuck you up. And then the Royal Army sends out their guards. And then one of them just like starts gunning them down. And that's what it reminded me of.
It's like, Jesus Christ, you're just slaughtering these people at this point. And it's kind of a bummer at times.
I have one final question for you guys. What do you guys think about the overall world and the world building?
Well, let's start off with this. I always complain about this. I am really tired of labyrinths. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've said this before on the show. I'm looking forward to a fantasy series. And that's what, you know what, it bringing it back to farming. I like isekai farming because it takes place on a farm. It's not a labyrinth and I'll take it. Beggars can't be choosers. So just give me any fantasy world now that just takes place, kingdom, world, wherever. But it doesn't have to be in a labyrinth. You can do something else. So I'm just getting tired of that trope. The castle scenes are beautiful. The water, they go to the little girl's water world to visit the mother. That was a cool little area, just like a village on top of a lake or something like that. I really dug that style. But what do you guys think?
I don't have like this big issue with dungeons in general. I just hate it when stuff becomes repetitive and formulaic. And that's what it feels like, because he's just going from dungeon to dungeon and just doing quests, basically, to obtain these god powers or whatever. And I just don't care. Like, and any of the fights are just super boring to me. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of fights in general. Like, battles overall are mostly boring for me in anime. And this is no exception, because there are no stakes, and I don't care. Like, the scene in the volcano, no one was gonna believe that anything that they wouldn't get out of there, right? So it's whatever. It's just another obstacle that he has to overcome.
Whatever.
What? Listen. What? Show me a shonen where the MC is ultimately not gonna succeed. Show me. We all know
that's a good point.
It's not the end. It's the journey that we all take. Now, albeit that this is not the best of journeys, but yes.
I agree, but if shonen does it well, in my opinion, then you always wonder, you don't really wonder if the MC is going to win, right? You know the MC is going to win, but you wonder how he's going to win. And if,
or you're just rooting for him anyways. Like, you're just so caught up in it. Like, it's...
If anything of consequence is going to happen, like maybe he loses a friend, for example, a side character or something, but also none of the girls in the harem are ever going to die, right? So
no,
that's also not a struggle. And it's just, it feels, everything just feels so cheap.
No, don't do it. Because they're doing season 3, so don't spoil anything. I don't want to hear
it. All right, I won't say anything then.
Okay.
Wait. But here, let me say this. And we do, folks, we do this in Manga Club, links.animesummit.net. Join the Discord. Come check out Manga Club every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern time. If everyone is hating on a manga, I always say, okay, now you have to say one nice thing that is legitimate that you enjoyed or liked in the show. And Gizmo, I'm putting this on you right now. You have to say one nice thing.
I mean, that's actually more than one nice thing I can say. I mean, I already talked about the beginning. I think the beginning was actually pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, if you could choose best girl,
he just skipped over this segment to go into the next segment, which is kind of how the show is. You're just always skipping to the next thing. Yeah, the girls
That's the best part of the show.
Literally, you're here for the harem. Is the real answer. Like, and trust me, even in light novels, they know, because each light novel is a different girl. They finally have to repeat on volume 8 or 9, I think. So,
I mean, for me, choosing best girl is a bit like a process of elimination, right? And so, I guess. Mine is probably the katana chick. I don't even remember her name. The friend of Kaori.
Oh, she's got a kind of a weird name too. Hold on, let me look at it. She's right. Like, I don't remember off the top of my head.
Suzu something.
Oh, yeah. She is a kendo star.
The one that hasn't joined his harem, but is definitely going to join his harem at some point.
Yeah.
Season 3, Yagashi. Baby.
Because she is not simping quite as hard for Hajime as everyone else, so I guess. She's okay.
because there's this other character. Here's the thing, folks, is that there's all these random high school characters that you just don't give a shit about. And of course, they follow the classic fantasy trope of a party, which is they have a hero, they have a tank, they have a sword master, they have a magician, a healer. Yeah, exactly. And what we're talking about right now is the sword master katana chick. I thought it kind of implicated that the hero and this girl might have something going on, but no. With the harem show, she's going to join the harem. And I hate in harem shows, High School DxD does this. It's like every single woman has to join the harem. There can't be a, like, your best boy. Like, it's like, bro, spread the love, man. Let me throw a dog a bone once again. Let me get something on the side. God damn. Bro, I'd be like, you're a bad friend, dude. You are a bad fucking friend.
There, don't worry, there's lots of female characters he doesn't get because they're all dead.
Yeah.
all the demon guards.
But I like that there's actually one scene at the end of season one, I think, where Yue says regarding Shizuku or whatever her name is, oh, I guess she's the real threat or something. There's like one little scene where it's already hinted at that she's going to join the harem and is bowing for his attention, I guess.
It's a fun, like, having read 11 volumes of the light novel, it is fun, like, to
hearing us speculate. Yeah, about
the speculation, and it seems like, anyways.
Mike, how many of the light novels were covered in the two seasons so far? Do you have a general idea?
We're up to like volume. They kind of slowed down a bit. I want to say we're like volume 5 or 6.
Okay.
Or something like that.
Because I know they were crunching it in pretty bad.
Yeah, there's supposed to be 12 or 13 volumes total for the whole entire series. Anyways.
Okay. And I know we're. Season 3 has been confirmed, but we can stick on the best girl train if we want to keep going around.
Yeah.
Let's
keep it there.
Mr. Ed?
Oh, obviously. Come on. Do I even need to say this?
What?
Dragon, Tio, come on.
Let's go! All right, we're going to spend 10 minutes of why we like Tio, because she's the best.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I'd love to hear 10 minutes about why you like Tio, because she has one defining personality trait, and that's it.
My original goal was to bring in clips of both the voice actresses, both the Japanese. I think the Japanese voice actress that does this does a couple other characters I really like. I'd have to go look them up off the top of my head, but I've looked them up before. And she's got just this great voice that I love so much. Just because she's the type that does a really good job of getting like that kind of raunchy sound. Like a low sort of much, because Japanese voice actors tend to be higher pitched, where she goes like really like, you know what I mean? Like it's kind of like, I'm not describing it very well, but it just phenomenal. And I was kind of, if I had time, my goal was to kind of like put in a couple of clips of her and her English voice.
The sword scene. Yeah. She does some, in the sword scene, I'm sure she does some solid voice acting.
Yeah, the pile driver, sort of exactly. Moans
or whatever.
Ed, anything else on Tio, what you like about her?
I'm pretty sure
there's the obvious.
She has two very big arguments for her, I guess.
Yeah. Also kind of like her design. I've always liked the simple, like, I forgot what's the name of the clothing she wears. The
kimono?
Kimono style. It's kind of like really leisurely.
Yeah. It's loose fitting. Looks comfy. Yeah, honestly,
stay cozy.
Exactly. I'm going to piggyback off Ed here and also agree. Tio is my favorite. Three key reasons. One, she's an adult and in an adult body, which I, as a newly 32-year-old, appreciate. So I love that. Two, she's a dragon. You can fly on her. That seems practical. That seems like a thing that you would want to have. And three, without, you know, going into it, butt stuff. I think that's hilarious. And that is her fetish. And that's what she's into. It is stupid. It is very over the top. It's so silly. But it's funny. Okay. And at the end of the day, that's what I'm here. I'm here to laugh. This is a show that I just enjoy watching because it's just so silly. And Tio is a big part of that. Mr. Mike?
My favorite is Yue. I love the relationship that they kind of develop and the codependency that they kind of get between the two of them. And it goes some interesting places later on. Also the fact that like Yue is the type of girl that King would want, because Yue is kind of like, when it comes to Shay, remember, like, she's starts encouraging Hajime to kind of show.
Hey, folks, welcome back. We had a bit of a technical difficulty there, and we lost Mike. He's on his way to Chicago for a good time. You may have heard him talk about his favorite character was Yue. I'm not even going to try to explain why his favorite character is Yue, because it's a vampire, and that is gross. I'm sure he has a very elegant reason.
To be honest, I don't even hate Yue. I think she would be my second pick as best girl, because she has a bit of a relationship with our main boy. And the relationship is built. It's kind of developed. So she's okay, I guess.
She's one of the only ones that got of the girls that got development pretty much throughout the whole. Because she's you know the queen bee.
Even if she's half girl. Naked demon body, and
exactly don't like that. I don't know why they had to make it like that. It's so strange. But we're pretty much going to wrap it up here. We're just going to give our final thoughts, and I'll kick it over to Ed for that.
Yeah. All in all, it wasn't too bad. I think the first season rating was proper, even though the second season got a higher rating. A 6.69 overall is pretty on par for this show. Just because it wasn't the worst thing I've ever seen. It was more or less pretty entertaining. Just as long as you're not super analytical about it. There's nothing over the top about this that makes it a superior show.
Heck yeah. No, that makes sense. Gizmo, final thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a turn the brain off show. But it just has nothing for me. Like, the beginning of the first half was okay. But the rest was just super boring and generic for me. So, I don't know. If I had to give it a rating, it would be like a 3.5 maybe. Something.
Ooh! Ooh. 3.5 out of 5 is what you mean, right?
3.5 out of 3.
Even if I defend the beginning, the beginning was also just okay.
No, that totally makes sense. And, you know, this is what I love about doing the show with you guys, because we're going to get to watch tons of stuff. And it reminds me of our manga club with Anime Summit, where we'll check something out and we'll commit to doing it, but we might fucking hate it. And we'll, so thank you, Gizmo, for watching all of the episodes, season 1 and 2. I have a suspicion that you probably will not be watching season 3. So we will, we'll cover it in our seasonals, but we won't do a dedicated episode to it.
No, please no. Have mercy.
If Gizmo ever loses a bet, we know what to do.
Exactly. Oh, no. That could be a good one. Like, oh, we'll have like a bet, like some sort of competition, and that's a punishment for him. My final thoughts are, you know, this show is for a specific type of person. I enjoyed it, and I think you're right. A 6.69 totally sums up this show for me. It is not stellar. It is not out of this world. I just have fun with it. I enjoy it. It's silly, smutty. It does not do great things for character development. The plot really, I'll be honest, the plot really doesn't matter most of the time. That's why. So if you felt like we kind of jumped all over the place, it's because the plot is insane and it doesn't matter. You can go watch a YouTube video if you want to like break down the whole story, but it's still kind of dumb. But I had a lot of fun with it, and we all get to bond over this now. So it's got a special place in my heart, especially now that we know that Gizmo is going to get punished with it. And with that, folks, apologies again for losing Mike on this. We love you, buddy. I want you all to go to links.animesummit.net. You're going to get all the information for the podcast, both Anime Summit and Anime Plummet. We'd love to hear your feedback on the Discord. We want you to join us in Manga Club once again. This has been me, King, my buddy Gizmo.
Goodbye.
And of course, our buddy Ed.
Later. Follow us at Anime Plummet on Twitter. I'm going to start posting more on that.
Hell yeah. There we go. Reach out to us. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see you next time. Sugaritakatta, ah,